Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I'm an out of control.
Can you calm down?
Yeah, you really
I'm
need to calm down.
I'm a 10-time Emmy winner
Maybe
with deep experience in the Middle East.
Right, guys,
have you
guys,
ever even been there?
Or
have
you
ever even
make
been
my
there?
Point, Sean.
I've covered
Sean,
every war since 1973.
I want to make my point when he stops talking.
Fight!
Geraldo, you do this every time. This is such garbage, and I'm really getting sick of it.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I join the president in being hopeful that we can reach a place where it is safe for people to be. What is this, the honor system? The honor system as to whether somebody's been vaccinated?
How are we going to monitor this?
Well, obviously, we all know each other very well. I'm sure we'll all feel comfortable within the confines of the honor system.
Do you want them breathing in your face on the strength of their honor?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And as you know, the Democrats have been trying to push through this bill in Washington. It's called HR1, and it would basically federalize all elections. It would do away with any kind of voter IDs, matching signatures. It would allow felons to vote. It would have automatic registration when you get a driver's license, which means all the states that that allow illegal aliens to get driver's licenses would be automatically registering them. It would basically overturn every kind of election integrity mechanism that all the states have. And it would many states don't allow, for instance, felons to vote. And this would allow felons to vote in federal elections. It's just basically a Democrat incumbency protection. They want the same results in 2022, 2024, and beyond that they got in 2020. And they're willing to do anything they can. They're probably not going to get it, but it's still the fact that they're this close is concerning, greatly concerning, actually. And so in New Hampshire, which just elected a Republican majority in both houses of the legislature, not to mention reelecting the governor, they've got a different bill is up before the legislature, and it would basically say that if HR1 ever passed, all of the laws that are currently in place to keep elections secure as is possible in New Hampshire would continue to be in place. And it's ironic because the Republicans are supporting this, even though the Secretary of State, who actually enforces the laws on the books and runs the elections, is a Democrat. And he's a Democrat who was picked by the Republican legislature. Sometimes there's a Democrat majority, they reelect him, and sometimes, as in this case, there was a Republican majority. And he actually was one of the Democrats who testified against HR1 down in Washington. So joining us now to talk about these competing bills and what's going on in New Hampshire is Stephen Stepanek. He's the chairman of the Republican State Committee in New Hampshire. Thanks for being with us here, Steve, today.
Thank you for having me, Howie. We're definitely taking the offensive on HR1 in New Hampshire, and as you rightly indicated, in New Hampshire, we were the only state to flip a legislature. We flipped the House, we flipped the Senate, and we flipped the Executive Council, and kept Governor Sununu in the corner office. So down ballot wise, we did very, very well in New Hampshire. And as I like to say, elections have consequences. And so we're making sure that we keep the New Hampshire tradition of voting securely in place with our Senate Bill 89.
Yeah, so I mean, you have the majority in the House and the Senate. I mean, so it should be a fait accompli to pass this, correct?
Yes, it came over from the Senate, and it's in the election law committee in the House right now, and they've made some amendments to it. But essentially, what we are saying is if, in the unlikely event that H.R. 1, which is now S.R. 1, I believe, passes, and it will obviously be challenged as unconstitutional, and
right.
If lightning strikes twice and it's deemed constitutional, then our law will take effect. And essentially it'll say that in state elections where we're electing the governor, where we're electing state senators, state representatives, any of the county elections, and the election for the electors for the president, all of those would be controlled directly by the state of New Hampshire and would not be controlled at all by what H.R. 1 or S.R. 1 is. So essentially, the only thing that the federal law will control will be the elections for U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate.
Right. Right. Now, and I know another thing the Republicans are interested in New Hampshire is trying to convince the senators, especially, I guess, Maggie Hassan, who's going to be running for re-election, has been running behind Chris Sununu in some polls that I've seen, to vote against this H.R. 1 or S.R. 1, whichever it's called now, because it's a 50-50 tie in the Senate. And I think Manchin has said he's opposed to this. So, I mean, it seems safe. And you know, if it's that close, they would need to overturn the filibuster to get it onto the floor. They'd need the 60 votes, and they can't get that unless they get rid of the filibuster. And Manchin has also said he's opposed to getting rid of the filibuster. So, I mean, it looks like the Republic has dodged a bullet here. But you guys are still trying to force Maggie Hassan to vote against this bill because I would assume that the voters of New Hampshire, considering how they voted, as you say, down ballot last November, don't want a bill to be passed that will enable Democrats to win every election for the rest of eternity.
Well, that is correct, and Howie, what is even more important. Our Secretary of State, Bill Gardner, who's been in office for 46 years now, and he's the longest-serving Secretary of State in the country, and as you rightly noted, he is a registered Democrat, came out a while back strongly against H.R. 1 as something that would have a significant impact, if not spell the demise of the first-in-the-nation primary in New Hampshire. So we, as Republicans, and in the past, it's always been a nonpartisan event where both Democrats and Republicans join forces to defend the first-in-the-nation primary in New Hampshire. And for months now, we've been asking the Democrats to join us in defending the first-in-the-nation primary and fighting against H.R. 1.
How would H.R. 1 affect the first-in-the-nation status of the New Hampshire primary?
Well, again, if they take over the federal elections and, you know, the Secretary of State believes that the way the law was written, not only would they take over the federal elections, they would take over the whole primary process as well.
Oh, okay.
And that is his interpretation. And, you know, he's been a staunch supporter of the First in Nation primary. We have laws on the books to make sure that we stay First
right.
in Nation primary, and gives him the authority to move it and do whatever is necessary to keep us in that position. But that being said, we have called on Maggie Hassan, Senator Hassan, and Senator Shaheen to stand with New Hampshire and represent the people who elected them and sent them to Washington and defend the first of the nation
and,
primary,
and Steve,
which is the territory position of New Hampshire.
I'm guessing when the phone didn't ring, you knew it was Senator Hassan, right?
I'm still waiting for the phone call.
What a shock that is. And what a shock that the two congressmen would vote for H.R. 1 when it passed on a narrow party line vote in the House.
It is very distressing because this has always been, Howie, a nonpartisan endeavor by both Democrats and Republicans in New Hampshire.
Right. This is good for business. This is good for business.
It's
Let's be honest. Right.
It's great for the state. It is important for the state. And quite frankly, I think that New Hampshire does it better than anyone else as far as vetting the candidates
right.
in a retail situation and asking the candidates, the presidential candidates, the hard questions, whether they be Democrats or Republicans. And you know, it's benefited not only Republicans, but Democrats. I mean, that's where Bill Clinton, and he became the comeback kid in New Hampshire. Yeah.
I done won the bronze, even though that damn Jennifer Flowers talked about what I said about Mario Cuomo. Yeah, I remember those days.
I will tell you, I hate to invoke his name, being a staunch conservative Republican, but in this case, that's how nonpartisan this is. And yet, you know, the Democrats have just, you know, we're calling on them to support New Hampshire, and they're not doing it. They're siding with Nancy Pelosi, Senator Schumer, and the radical left in Washington, D.C., and it is a crying shame to see that happen. And I think at the end of the day, the only thing that people in New Hampshire can do is vote them out of office, because they are not representing New Hampshire. They are not representing the people who sent them down to Washington. They've forgotten where they came from.
Steve Stepanek, New Hampshire GOP chairman, thank you for being with us. One final question. Is there any update on the Wyndham audit?
Not yet. It's still going on. We're supposed to get the official report on May 27th. There's been some supposition that there may be a technical glitch where folded ballots mess up the optical reader, which would be obviously the absentee ballots that get folded and mailed in. But that is still just a supposition, and we have to wait for the official report, which will be May 27th.
All right. Stephen Stepanek, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. And he's the New Hampshire State Republican chairman. Thank you. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He only steals from the very best.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Howie Carr returns after this. He's the undisputed king of New England talk radio.
No brag, just fact.
Howie Carr.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their drain the swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. Covfefe. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker run for re-election?
I think he will now that he's lost the job that he apparently was telling people he was dreaming of, which is the CEO of the new combined Tufts and Harvard Pilgrim healthcare plan.
73% now say that he's going to run again.
Yeah. We'll know for sure when we get his financial reports for the month of May. We're in about a little over a week from Office of Campaign and Political Finance. If he raises another $9,000 this month, he's not going to run. If he raises $1 million, he's going to run. We'll see. All right. Tomorrow, Grace and I will both be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, the Live Free or Die state. We will be at Toyota of Portsmouth, and we're going to be doing our show from there. And we've done our shows from Toyota of Portsmouth before. We always have a great time. It's right off the highway, and we're asking everybody to come on down. Even if you're not from New Hampshire, I mean, if you're from Massachusetts, New Hampshire's more and more wide open, and as we know, Massachusetts is going to be the last state in New England and one of the last states in the country to open up with no masks inside. So joining us now on the line is Jim Boyle from Toyota of Portsmouth to talk about what's going to be going on. What have we got planned for tomorrow, Jim?
Well, Howie, it's always a pleasure when you and Grace come to visit the House of Value, Toyota of Portsmouth. You know, we are honored to be the location of the premiere of Grace Curley's road shows.
That's true. Grace, I hadn't thought about that.
Well, she has been so good at promoting us over the past year. We've pulled out all the stops to make tomorrow's show a great event. We're going to have food from the 110 Grill right here at Portsmouth.
Excellent.
We're going to have, yes, and we'll have free car washes from our friends at Mr. Bubbles right here in Portsmouth. And let's not forget the greatest bread in the world from Pianodosi Baking Company. Our friend Joe Pianodosi has promised to come up and have loaves of bread for everyone who attends.
Oh, and, man, that in itself is just worth coming out for, because he always brings more than enough. So you can, if you're a cheap bastard, you can probably get two giant loaves of bread.
That's right. It's always good. You're right. And we'll have, anyone who comes can take advantage of our service specials, stuff like that. And, we have our sales team will be here explaining, all the warranties, all the things that come on the new and used cars that we have. And, we'll be scheduling appointments for people that would like to come. And if they schedule an appointment on a Wednesday, they can get free extreme car washes, and for any service they have performed on Wednesday. So all that stuff will be explained. We'll have full staff here. We can't wait for you guys to come. It's always fun.
And books. And my books. I've signed hundreds of copies of my books. And so you can come by and, whenever you can. Grace goes on at noon, and then after, I'm on after that. I'll be on till 6. I'm taking the last hour off. But so from noon to 6, you can see either me or Grace on the air. And you can hang out, and it's gonna be great. We always have a great time up there, Jim. And did you hear Governor Sununu last night on the show? He was talking about the great values.
He's a great governor, as you know. As governors go, he's one of the best. And,
so we're looking.
My good friend Steve on too.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to being there, and again, so how do people, in case people don't know how to get to Toyota of Portsmouth, how do they get there?
Oh, we're right at the we're 3/4 of a mile south of the Portsmouth traffic circle, which is exit 5 off 95, but we're 150 Greenleaf, and any questions, you can always go to toyotaofportsmouth.com, and that should tell you everything on how to get here.
And if you want to put it into the
GPS,
it's 150 Greenleaf. That's all you got to do.
150 Greenleaf Avenue, Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
And the doors are open. I mean, you can come in early. Grace will probably get there, say, around 11 o'clock or so. But, she needs to prepare and, read her stories and all that stuff. But, if you want to come, everybody, our staff will be there, and they'll be, come by. You can come by early and pick up a book. We got a lot of books. It's first come, first serve, and they got what kind of food they got coming in from the 110 Grill? I'm already getting hungry, Jim.
Well, I'm understanding there's going to be some flatbread sandwiches and some other unknown treats.
Oh boy, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
The bread truck will be here from Pianodosi's too.
And so again, I can't tell you how good that bread is. It's just, it's so good, and it stays fresh too. They don't put chemicals in, but somehow it stays fresh for a number of days. And if you're planning on any cookouts this weekend, this is the place to get the nice rolls for the sausages, especially. All right, Jim, we'll see you tomorrow at the Toyota of Portsmouth. Grace and I will be there from noon until 6 o'clock. I'm Howie Carr. A lot of us are going to be on the move again this summer. So my advice to you, take your Raycons with you. Whether you're working out to a pumped up playlist or listening to a podcast on your commute, a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears can make all the difference. With Raycon, you get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Their wireless earbuds look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors with customizable gel tips for a comfortable in-ear fit. Raycons are built to go wherever you go, with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. And with a 24-hour battery life, they're a must-have for your daily grind, all day, every day. Get 15% off Raycon at buyraycon.com/Howie. Raycon has a 45-day happiness guarantee, so give them a try. You'll be surprised you ever went anywhere without them. That's buyraycon.com/Howie for 15% off your order. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios,
844-500-4242. So, of course, Janet Mills, the governor of Maine, has yesterday signed an executive order ending the state's mask mandate effective next week. So, again, Massachusetts becomes the last state in New England to still have a mask mandate as of next week. Aren't we proud? Aren't we proud? Number three in deaths nationwide. Never forget it. Number three. But it's worked so well, we're going to be the last state in New England to get rid of the mask mandate. But so what did the Maine legislature do today, which is controlled by Democrats? How predictable was this? Democrat leaders in the Maine legislature voted to require masks when lawmakers return to the state house next month, even after Governor Mills' mandate expires, sparking anger from Republicans and hinting at further resistance. Who wouldn't be angry? They spent 15 months telling us to follow the science. Now the same people who they claim they were following say, you don't need masks anymore. So they're saying, never mind. How typical is this?
I just don't understand how they can make those declarations in public buildings. A privately owned building such as the one we're in right now can say, all right, everybody that's in here, you can wear a mask. But a publicly owned building, when the CDC has come out and Joe Biden has said you can wear masks indoors now if you're vaccinated, I don't think they have the right to say that you need to wear a mask.
Right. Republicans argued it defied this vote by the legislature in Maine, in Augusta. It defied public health science recommendations. But again, they don't care about the science. They've spent 15 months accusing all of us who were cynical, skeptical of being science deniers. And now they just thumb their noses at it. They don't care anymore. Follow the gospel according to St. Anthony. You know, the patron saint of Faustism. He wants you to take off your bleeping mask. God, what is wrong with these people? They can't give it up. They're dead enders. 844-500-4242. It's just insanity. Thanks for the people pointing that story out to me. 844-500-4242. I want to play just one or two more cuts of Bongino and Geraldo just because I find it so amusing. The two of them screaming at one another. Again, Dan Bongino, who's 46, and Geraldo, who's close to 80. And Bongino totally has his number. I didn't think Bongino could top himself after last month. They were on together, and Geraldo kept talking, you know, I know a lot about cops. I've been covering cops for my entire life. And Bongino, who's a former cop, said, Geraldo, just because you go to dinner with an inspector or a captain twice a year, that doesn't mean you know law enforcement. And it's so true. It's so true.
So last night was the grudge match.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a TKO in the fourth round in April. And today, this one was a KO in the second round. Cut one.
Israel needs to win the war against terrorism.
By what? Killing
and terrorists
all the
that are firing rockets
the
at their people.
Let's kill
Dan
them all.
Bongino.
Let's kill all these children.
Dan.
Geraldo, you do this every time. This is such garbage, and I'm really getting sick of it.
Let's kill all the children. What a sophisticated, that's almost as sophisticated an argument as you're a punk. Cut two.
He makes this an emotional thing, and he says, the Palestinian children. Of course we care about Palestinian children. You know the way we save Palestinian children?
I haven't heard you say it.
We incentivize the terror group Hamas to not fire rockets indiscriminately into Israel, and it would stop immediately. Your debate on, you are so misinformed on this, it's pathetic.
Didn't I say that last night? We know when we played that ridiculous cut of Chris Hayes on MSNBC saying, why don't we build an Iron Dome for Hamas so all the terrorists can live to kill people again? And all they had to do to stop it was to stop firing rockets. That's all they needed to do. Just mind their own business. That's the best Iron Dome they got going. Cut. List the last cut. Cut four.
Why don't you ever show the dead Palestinian children? Why don't you ever show the video of the dead Palestinian children?
Because if I ever step foot in Gaza, I'd be dead.
They don't count. It's like they don't exist.
You don't even understand the history.
The Palestinian children are being killed and they don't exist. Demand a ceasefire.
You don't even understand your own history. Geraldo,
I demand
who controlled
ceasefire.
That Palestinian area
ceasefire
from 48
now.
To 67?
Ceasefire.
The
no
Jordanians.
American weapons used
right.
to kill
the
children.
Ceasefire.
Stop it.
So they can kill more Jews?
I demand a
Are
ceasefire.
You nuts?
All right, no, we'll leave
demand,
it there.
Right, so they can rearm and kill more Jews. This is great.
All right, all right, all right, all right, enough.
Some people were appalled by that. I find it pretty amusing. It's better than a wrestling match, you know, because, you know, I mean, a wrestling match is fixed. You never know what's going to happen in this one. 844-500-4242. Officer Mark says, Howie, I just drove through downtown Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The masks are off. It's an insurrection, I tell you. Yeah, I don't know what the situation is at Toyota of Portsmouth, but I think it'll be fairly relaxed. I don't think they've technically taken the restrictions off inside, but I'm not going to rat you out. I don't think Governor Sununu is running a snitch line. Let me put it that way. If you want to call the snitch line, you're going to have to call Massachusetts, and I don't think you'll get too far with that. I just got to mention something here. The amazing irony, as you know, Governor Cuomo got a $5 million advance from his book that sold 48,000 copies, they say now. So he got more than $100 per book. So today he's following in the footsteps of Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio. He took some of the COVID relief money and put it into a lottery, but it was only $1 million in Ohio, I think. I think it was only $1 million, but he threw on some, you know, free tuition for kids and all that stuff. So Cuomo today announces that there's a first prize, that they have a vaccine scratch, a free lottery ticket. Listen to this and see if you can spot the irony here. Cut eight.
Win up to $5 million if you get vaccinated next week. Vax and Scratch. How do you like that name? Vax and Scratch. You get a vaccination and you get a lottery ticket for the $5 million mega multiplier New York State Lottery.
Kill thousands of nursing home patients, sexually harass all of your female staffers, get your no-talent brother on CNN to help you out of the sexual harassment rap, and then sign a $5 million advance. How do you like them apples, Big Apple? You think he would have said, can we make it $4 million or $6 million? $5 million is just going to, it's just going to remind people of all that money I got for writing that blood money book. But that wouldn't occur to him, would it? So meanwhile, Phil Murphy is presiding. He's ahead even of Cuomo and Charlie Parker in the death rates. He's the governor of New Jersey. He's got his own gimmick to get people vaccinated. Cut nine.
Very similar to our shot and a beer campaign. Uncork the vaccination will put our world-class wineries in the spotlight. Through this program, any New Jerseyan age 21 and over who receives their first shot in the month of May can visit a tasting room at the following participating wineries to receive a free glass of one of their wines.
This month in New Jersey, you get a free shot of wine. Next month, you get a free shot of fentanyl. If the vaccination rates don't go up.
Have there been any studies if you get more than one first shot of the vaccine? Are there any, you know, drawbacks from that?
I think at the when they
I imagine there's a lot of people trying to take advantage of all these, you know, handouts.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think, you know, when you used to go to the breweries and they give you two beers. But what they would do is they would put a stamp on your hand, you know, the rubber stamp, and so you couldn't come back for a second or a third one, I guess. Are they going to stamp your hand so you can't go back and get a second shot of wine to get a if This is just so ridiculous what they're doing. 844-500-4242. And one last cut before we go back to the lines. I love Ted Nugent. He was on a podcast the other day. And, you know, people have been saying that he's been saying that the virus was a scam, so he wanted to defend himself against that. Cut six.
I never once in my life called the Chinese or the Wuhan virus, whichever name you want to give it.
Either one works for me, yeah.
Chinese virus. I never used the word hoax, ever. I never said the virus was a scam.
Nope.
I said punk boy Fauci was a scam. The government is a scam. WHO is a scam. CDC is a scam. The shutdown is a scam.
Amen.
The control of American freedom families is a scam.
Boy, the word of the day is punk, huh? Punk Dan Bongino, punk boy Fauci. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, correct me if I'm wrong, but that a few years ago, Scott Brown was running for senator of New Hampshire.
Correct.
He lost to Gene Shaheen because the Republican base felt Scott Brown is a rhino, and now we're in trouble in the Senate, and we have things like H.R. 1 to fear. Am I correct that if Scott Brown was the senator from New Hampshire, we would have no worry which way he'd vote on that matter?
Oh, he'd definitely vote against it. I mean, if that, you know, any of those, you know, either of those two Georgia seats, everything would be fine, 51-49. I think it's okay. I mean, knock on wood, Steve, but it's horrible to even have to worry about this because, I mean, this is for all the marbles. If they take over the federal election process and just flood every election with these mail-in ballots, I mean, it's over. You know?
But didn't the Republican base desert Scott Brown when he needed them? That's my point.
I don't really think they did. I mean, running against Elizabeth Warren, I mean, some people were angry because he voted for one of the Wall Street bailouts. And they say that he had flipped. But that was a tiny percentage of the people. I think Scott Brown's problem, New Hampshire was a different thing, because he was born in New Hampshire, but he wasn't really from New Hampshire. He'd lived in Massachusetts his entire life. But I think in Massachusetts, what the problem he had was he won the seat in January 2010. There's never been a special election in January anywhere, I don't think. And I don't think there ever will be one again. It was just one of those coincidences. That's for when Ted Kennedy died. So there was a small turnout and people were really angry about Obama. And 2 years later, Obama's running for reelection and, he was going to swamp the state and it was hard for Scott Brown to overcome that million vote advantage or million and a half vote advantage that Obama had over Willard, Mitt Romney. And that's why he lost. I don't think it was the Republican base deserting him so much. Again, there were a few that were angry, but I mean, if you have a choice between Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren, I mean, even then she was a world-class phony. 844, and it was clear, right? 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie will be right back after a quick trip to the Redemption Center.
That's a Democratic Party for you.
I've written to Washington about it.
What do you want to write to Washington for? He's dead.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. So, of course, the same thing is going on that's going on in Augusta in Washington, D.C. I'm just looking at Fox now. Mask mandate. Pelosi demands face coverings despite CDC guidance. Again, we don't need no stinking science when the science goes against this. I mean, they don't care. I mean, it's all theater, all theater. Just like, you know, when, Biden threatens to run over the reporter, nobody says boo. They would have been demanding the impeachment of Donald Trump for saying that, even though it was a joke. No question about it. Jeremiah, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Hey, Howie. I just wanted to say I don't understand
what the difference is. I'm from Maine, and I got Janet Mills telling me next week we can take off our masks for vaccinated people. Well, what's the difference between next week and today? I just don't understand it.
Jeremiah, I've been asking that same question. I mean, it was okay in Rhode Island 2 days ago. It was okay in New York 1 day ago. But, you know, look on the bright side, Jeremiah. COVID is surrendering in Maine on Monday. It's not surrendering in Massachusetts until Friday.
Yeah, I suppose. We're either northern Massachusetts or southern Canada, depending where we're from.
I know. I know. It just makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why are they waiting? And you know what, again, I mentioned this yesterday. The mailroom manager was in a store, and she was talking with one of the retail clerks that she knows and said, won't you be glad when the masks come off? And the woman was saying, oh, I can't stand it. I'm going crazy. And so this fat woman that was behind him started screaming at him and saying, you better keep the masks on until the 28th. I mean, what is wrong with these people? You know, Michael Savage used to say liberalism is a mental disorder. What is wearing a mask other than a liberal mental disorder? It's crazy. Thanks for the call, Jeremiah. I wish I could answer the question, but I can't because I don't know the answer. I don't understand cults. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Howie, two things. Number one, you're missing something. When Geraldo said it wasn't all about him, but then he mentions he's won 10 Emmy Awards. Doesn't that make it all about him?
You know who I am.
I'd rather have 10 participation trophies from the midget soccer league than 10 Emmys. It's about the same value. Go ahead, John.
All right. The other night I came up with this. I tried to get it on the Trump line. The mystery man came over and said, I'm out of sight. For a nominal service charge, I can cure your corona tonight. I said, look here, Fauci. Who are you jiving with that corona vaccine? Look here, Fauci. Don't you waste your time on me. Oh, he got the crystal ball.
Yeah, John, I can see why that didn't make the chump line, honestly. I love having you as a listener and a caller, but you're no Limerick guy. Let me put it that way. There's always tomorrow. I tell that to Grace. You know, there's always the next at bat. Go for it next time, John. 844-500-4242. Again, the recurring question, why was it okay in Rhode Island 2 days ago, New York yesterday, Maine Monday, and Massachusetts not for another week? See you tomorrow in Portsmouth. I'm Howie Carr.